Do you remember, my friend, your first job experience of your life? Yes, I believe you do, and so do I. My first job experiences in Germany and the United States were rather unusual for a young Christian. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you each week over this station. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray now for the anointing of thy Spirit upon this sharing of marvelous and challenging experiences, and we give thee all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. As some of you know, I'm now on my sixth week of sharing my life experiences. I was born in Nazi Germany. I have some Jewish blood flowing through my veins, and so we had some rather difficult experiences during the Holocaust period in Nazi Germany. We experienced deliverances, however, from the Nazis, from the bombs, from the submarines and mines and torpedo boats that tried to sink our ship as we were escaping the Red Army. We had deliverance from famine. We had deliverance especially from the power of sin. I was saved in England in 1952 as a 16-year-old boy. Then I shared with you last week my first experiences with the church and how the first church I attended as a young convert had everyone who came to, most everyone who came to Sunday morning worship service come to Sunday night service, and most everyone coming to Sunday night service came to the midweek service. And the midweek service was a service of prayer where people really prayed and got a hold of God. And so I learned to pray, and I learned to appreciate the power of corporate prayer. Now today, I shall share with you my first experiences on the job in Hamburg, Germany. I was now 16 years of age. I was out of high school. It's time to get a job. And my first job assignment was an apprentice for a machinist job. As we entered the factory, we were placed into a large room, and in this room, you found a beautiful lathe, a beautiful machine in the center. All around this machine were workbenches with vices on them. The master craftsman came to us, and he said, "Now, I want you boys to learn how to file." That's lesson number one. Of course, we all wanted to learn how to run machines, but he said, "No, first you have to learn how to file." And then he gave each of us a big iron rod, and then he gave us a hacksaw, and he gave us different kinds of files, rough, medium, and fine. Then he gave us all kinds of different grades of sandpaper and emerald cloth, and he gave us a little square and some other measuring instruments. And then he said, "I want you to file a perfect cubicle out of this iron rod, and you have all the time you need." And so all of us 15 new apprentices got to work. And as we were working, little by little, some got discouraged, and they were begin to get distracted, and they were beginning to shoot rubber bands at each other. And others, two of them or three of them, quit the job altogether. They said, "We haven't come here to file. We have come here to learn to be machinists." And others complained, and so it went on and on. Now, I want you to know that as a young Christian, as soon as I got in the factory, I knew I was in an ungodly world, and I needed to do something to keep my heart. And so I began to sing songs in my heart, meet melody in my heart, because you see, the psalmist says that the righteous delights himself in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And after about 6 weeks or so, the master craftsman came to us, and he said, "Now it's time to hand in your cubicles." And by this time, our cubicles were very, very small from the way we started, because we had an awful time getting the sides to square. We got too square, and then others were not square, and went on and on. And so by this time, they were so small that the 13 cubicles, because two men quit, that the 13 cubicles fit in one of his hands. And instead of him measuring and checking the cubicles, he took them and threw them into the trash. And then he said, the test is over. I know, he said, you learned how to file. But it says, as you were learning to file, we learned about your spirit. We learned about your character. And so the person amongst you has shown the most excellent, most wonderful, most cooperative spirit is the one who will be the leader over all the rest of you. I want you to know, my friend, I was glad that in those 6 weeks, I was able to keep my heart by singing the songs of grace, the songs of mercy, the songs of holiness over and over again. I want you to know, my friend, that God is testing us all the time. Many times we are in difficult circumstances and situations, and I want you to know God's watching us. He's watching us all the time. He's watching our actions. He's watching our reactions. He's watching our attitude. And if our actions, reactions, and attitudes are right, then the Lord will trust us with greater responsibilities and greater as we go along life's journey. So no wonder the word of the Lord says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That was my first experience on the job, and Jesus told me last Sunday morning as I was going to church, you're not done telling your story, tell the rest of the story, and I believe this is going to help somebody. Now, then in July 19, 1955, we came to the United States. We came on a displaced persons program because during the war, we were displaced from one part of the country to another and then back again. My oldest brother came first, and he was sponsored by a Presbyterian church in Wisconsin. A year later, he had enough money to sponsor my sister to come to this country. Another year later, a Lutheran church sponsored my mother, my younger brother, and me to come to this wonderful country. As we arrived on these shores, we had an immediate sense of responsibility to do what we could not to be a burden to anybody. So we came here on July 19, which was the hottest day of the year and in recorded history up to that particular point. My mother told us as we were leaving Hamburg, Germany, to get on the Flying Tiger airliner, which is a freight airliner. It didn't have any pressurized cabins. She told us, I said, this is the fourth time we're leaving everything behind. So whatever you can get on, put it on. So that meant an undershirt. It meant a shirt. It meant a sweater. It meant a suit jacket. It meant a winter coat on top of that. And when we arrived in New York, it was the hottest and most humid day they had all year, I believe, in recorded history. Oh, what a miserable flight it was. Non-pressurized cabins. One engine conked out over Paris. And then we had to refuel on the Azores Islands. But we got here on July 19, 1955. On July 20, I took my first job at Allis-Chalmers, a tractor factory in Milwaukee. And there, I was happy to quickly be employed to carry my own weight in this nation. I worked there several weeks, and then I still recall one of these days, a big fellow came to me, and he said, young man, he says, tomorrow there'll be no work here. We're going to shut down the factory. We're going on strike for better wages. And I said, wait a minute. I said, he says, I'm happy to be here. He says, I'm so glad Allis-Chalmers hired me. I says, I have a responsibility towards the owners of this factory. They gave me the job and I agreed to the salary. He says, my Bible tells me, be content with your wages. He says, no way I can quit. Then he gathered a few other big fellows around me, and they all stood around me and they were trying to intimidate me. And so the next day, yes, indeed, there was no way to get in the factory, and I knew I couldn't go back there again, because I was going to work for Jesus, live for Jesus, die for Jesus. So I went to a small little machine shop and got in there. I was just a young Christian. I'm telling you my experiences as a young Christian on my first jobs. First in Germany, than here in the United States. So here we come in this little machine shop, and as I got in there, I said, oh, Jesus, I need some help, because on the walls of this little machine shop, there were pictures, full-color, glossy pictures of naked women all around me. And I said, Lord, I need some help here. And you know what I did when all the men had gone home after work? I was the last one out. I said, I'm going to tear all these pictures off the wall. And that's what I did. I tore all the pictures of the wall and threw them in the trash. Now, can you imagine what next morning was like for me, this young fellow on his second job here in this country, with all these experienced elderly craftsmen coming in, and their beautiful pictures were no longer on the walls? I won't tell you the details, but I'll tell you this much, that God gave the victory. Those pictures never went back up on the walls. Hallelujah. Now, the way I was keeping the victory and the way I had strength to live for Jesus in a factory is I did what I did in the old country. I kept singing. While the machine was humming, I kept singing the gospel hymns, the songs of love and of peace and of mercy and of holiness unto the Lord from the top of my lungs all day long, every day. You see, the Bible says that the righteous delight themselves in the way of the Lord, and they meditate on His law, on the things of God day and night. Praise His holy name. My friend, we need to keep our hearts from all uncleanness. And the first experience I had with the, as I shared last Sunday, with two Christian ladies much older than I, inviting me to their home after Sunday night service, and they watched the Lawrence Welk show, and here were these ladies with their bare legs and throwing them up in the sky. And I said, oh, Jesus, this is what have I come to here? These are supposed to be Christian ladies. And then I saw we have the same problem with cheerleaders in our high schools and colleges with their bare legs and in the marching bands. And then we have pornography in most every grocery store right up front. We have a nation of fornication, of adultery, of pornography. We need a cleansing. They need a great cleansing in America. Let me finish with a story. And a Christian man said to the elders of the church, we need you to come over here to pray over our home. We have all kinds of trouble in our home. Everything goes wrong. There's turmoil in our home. And they said, we need your men to come over and pray that God will cleanse this home. As these men began to pray, one of them heard, as it seemed, a voice speaking. And it says, it was a voice of the devil or demon, and that demon said, I have a right to be here. This man has pornographic literature in a third drawer of his dresser. The praying men confronted this man with this particular problem. He confessed his sin throughout the literature, and my friend, God gave the victory, and help's been coming to the home from that point on. If we have anything unclean in our home, watch anything unclean in our home, my friend. The devil has every right to be there, and he will be there. He will be there. And Jesus will not be there. But if our homes are cleansed of all the ungodly things, of all the filth, my friend, then Jesus will be in our homes, and there'll be help, and there'll be encouragement, and there'll be healing, and there'll be hope for the family, for everyone to become a man or woman of God. Oh, may God help us in this nation. So today, I share with you my first experiences as a young Christian on my first jobs. And next week, I'll share with you my first experience as a young Christian on the university campus, the University of Wisconsin. That's another story worth telling.
Now for our WWKI listeners, our church, the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, has moved to 3215 West Judson Road, just about a mile northwest of the Northwest Shopping Plaza in Kokomo. Services are at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings. Again, the Kokomo Fellowship now meets at 3215 West Judson. You're welcome to attend.